Good afternoon. I'm Ellen Lewis. I'm with the EPC. We handle your current benefits. We've been there. A lot of you have seen me at the vendor fair. I am not Anthem. I am not CVS. I don't take offense to anything you may say. Let's put it out that way. What we're going to do today is go through what an HSA is with all the different parts. We're going to start with the insurance plan. Then we're going to talk about the actual HSA account, and then we're going to get into claims and how this all really works and how you manage it, give you some tips for starting off. It is a ton of information. It's coming at you pretty quickly. I don't expect everybody to get this in one sitting. I really don't. Find out who's had one in your office before and tap on them. See whoever's out there nodding their head going, yep, that's who you want to talk to. I will be back in the district at the high school November 16th and 17th from like 2 to 4. It's really from 2 to whenever. Just to sit there and answer individual questions. So you can stop and ask questions. I mean, this is definitely a full hour. You can ask questions. If it's something very personal, specific to you, just talk to me afterwards. And I might say, we're going to get to that. This is not a very linear projection. It's convoluted. It's all IRS driven. So it's convoluted. So that burning question may be on the next slide. I also do not read the slides. They're really there as a reminder for me to make sure I cover it. I figure any of us can sit down and read a slide. Why do I need to be here if all I'm going to do is read a slide? So with that, the first slide should say, don't panic. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't panic. And every now and then I see these faces go, oh my gosh, don't panic. We're going to give you tools to help with all this. We're going to help you work through it. One of the first things to really grasp with what we call an HSA, it's really two different things. You have a high deductible health plan called an HDHP. It meets certain guidelines set by the IRS, which allows you to open up the health savings account or the actual HSA. They're two separate parts. They don't talk to each other. You simply have to have one to have the other. So that's misconception number one, is that somehow they're linked and whatever you're doing over here, the other part knows and they talk back and forth. Absolutely not. They do not. We reference the entire composite thing as an HSA. We just call it an HSA for sanity's sake. So the first thing we're going to do is talk through the HDHP, the actual insurance plan. This is just an insurance plan. It's with Anthem and CVS. It's actually the same exact plan you have now. The only thing that's changing is how claims are paid. So you're not going to lose anything. You're not going to gain anything under the actual insurance coverage. So if you have, you know, however many physical therapy visits, you're going to have the same number of physical therapy visits. If, you know, this drug is covered today, it'll be covered tomorrow. None of that is going to change. It's actually a very, very simple plan. We've made insurance very complicated over the years trying to control costs. This plan has a single deductible. Everything applies to that deductible with one exception. When the deductible is met, Anthem and CVS pay your claims for the rest of the year at 100%. It's actually very, very simple. The one exception is your routine preventive care. That is covered at 100% upfront, no cost to you. So that includes things like your annual physical, your mammogram, pap smear, blood work, PSAs. If you're lucky enough to be 50, your routine colonoscopy. So it's age appropriate. Immunizations, child visits, the routine well child visits as recommended through the AMA. The trick with preventive is it has to be coded as preventive, which means no diagnostic code by the physician. So if you say, aha, I'm going to use free preventive, and you make an appointment with your doctor, and all you do is go in and complain about every single thing that's wrong with you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's the doctor's discretion not to code that as routine. Correct. The question was, that will not go against your deductible. If it's coded as a sick or a injury visit, so broken leg, it does apply to deductible. But if you go in and you say, I am here for my annual physical, and they do a full physical, and then you say, and by the way, can you refill my cholesterol meds and my high blood pressure meds? They'll say, sure, and that should still be coded as a physical and covered in full. Now, the second time you go back in the year, because you have to usually go twice to get your meds refilled in a year, legally they're supposed to see you every 6 months to renew prescriptions. That one is going to be coded as a sick visit. You are there to get your prescriptions refilled. Nobody does two full physicals in a year. Question is, if you have blood work related to those visits, is that considered preventive? Yes, it can be. If that blood work claim is submitted with no diagnostic code, it's your annual blood work, it's covered in full. If it is coded specifically for a thyroid test and an A1C for diabetes, that is not routine. You're being tested to see your levels under those diseases. This is all at the physician's discretion, okay? Typically, we do not have problems with this. It goes through with no problem. But occasionally, somebody is dealing with, you know, five different commingled issues, and they're there because they're sick, and they want to try and get it coded as routine. It is not going to happen. Only the physician can change those codes. Anthem can't, we can't. No, it's got to come from the physician's office. And occasionally they do make a mistake. So you have, to correct it, you have to contact your physician, and they have to submit a corrected code. Depends on your physician's office as to how friendly they are. You had a question. Okay. The question is on something like a post-cancer, yes, like post-cancer, they want you to do all these tests on what they consider a routine basis because they are monitoring to make sure nothing has come back. With those, take a mammogram. You have breast cancer under AMA guidelines, and this is all through AMA. It has nothing to do with Anthem or any other insurance company. AMA guideline says they cannot code a mammogram as preventive for 10 years. You're not considered cancer-free or clear for 10 years. So if it's a post-cancer and it's being scheduled by an oncologist, it is probably still going to be treated as a sick visit. So I know people don't like those answers, but that's how the medical community works. So everything else goes towards this deductible. If you are single, you have a $2,000 annual deductible. If you are family, you have a $4,000 deductible. With this family deductible, the entire $4,000 has to be met by any combination of family members, or it could even just be one member who has a large claim. Once that $4,000 is met, the entire family is covered at 100%. It works a little differently than what you have now. Like I said before, don't panic. The number is scary. We understand that. So that's how the plan works. Now, everything applies to deductible outside of routine, but you're not paying retail. You are paying Anthem and CVS negotiated rates, contractual rates. And we're going to get into this more in the claims as to what those are, how you find them, how you work that. But just in the back of your head, realize you are not paying retail, because retail and medical is fictional. It's whatever they want to charge. It has no bearing on reality. So that would include medications. That's usually the big question. Yes, there are no more copays. So the full CVS price, not retail, of the medication applies to the deductible. Same with physician, ER, urgent care testing. It just keeps trickling up. So any questions on the plan itself? Okay. Question had come up earlier. If in a family, both spouse and employee, or husband, wife, or whatever, it's both spouses work for the district, so they're both employees, is it beneficial to split that coverage between the two or keep it as one single family plan? The answer is, no, it's all up to you, but if you have children involved and you split off one of the spouses to take single coverage, it's not necessarily a good idea. You're going to pay single premium and have that $2,000 deductible over here for one person, and then on the other side, you're going to have the other spouse and the children on a family plan paying family premium with a $4,000 deductible. Typically, people want to do this because they want to grab the board money. They want to get the $2,000 for the family contribution and the $1,000 for the single. But what that does is you're paying more premium than you should, and you've now just exposed the family to a $6,000 because they are two separate plans. So if the single employee meets their $2,000 deductible over here, their claims are covered at 100%. But that does not apply to the other family member with the children with a $4,000 deductible. They still have a $4,000 deductible, and vice versa. They don't apply to each other. So if you keep them all under one employee, you keep that deductible at $4,000. Yes, you get the $2,000 from the district. We're jumping into how it's funded. But you're not increasing your exposure and your cost. So, okay. Any other plan questions before we get into the actual HSA?
The copays now go towards the...
There are no copays. They just don't exist in your world. Okay. So the contractual amount for whatever that procedure is applies to the deductible. Yes?
Can you pay for things not covered under the health plan with the HSA?
We're gonna get to that. You're jumping the gun on me now. Okay. Okay, the question was, can you pay for non-covered items with your HSA? The short answer is yes, but we're going to get into it in detail. So now we're going to move into the actual HSA account. And this is where the questions and the complexity really comes in. It's all IRS driven. Some of the IRS rules make sense, some not so much. It can get very convoluted. Don't panic. You'll get there. A lot of times we say you have to almost be on the plan for 3 months, and then it's like, I've got this. It all comes together. You're like, I've got this. So what is an HSA? The HSA itself is truly a savings or checking type account. Think of it as a checking account. It is established in your name. You will fill out banking forms to open this account with American Fidelity. And American Fidelity will be coming in. Greg's here from American Fidelity. He's going to talk a little bit before we get into claims. It is a bank account in your name. Kings has access to the account. There is a link just so they can put money into the account. That is the only access they have to this account. It's just like direct deposit. They don't know what's in there. They don't know what you're doing, how you're using it, how much you have, and they don't want to know. Okay. Part of the issue with all this HSA is we have now left medical insurance and now we're entering the realm of finance. This is all about financial management, how you manage your money. And everybody in here will do it differently because everybody handles their finances differently. And that's kind of what makes this confusing because we're used to medical insurance works this way. And now it's all how do you want to do it? So this is a tax-free or a tax-advantaged account. Money that goes into this account is non-taxable. Typically, it's payroll deducted on a pre-tax basis, just the same way your premiums are. You can put money in post-tax. So let's say you have a savings account. Most people, I would say the majority of people, feel very comfortable if they can put that money in year one so the deductible's there and they just breathe easier at night. If you have a side account with money that you want to say, I want to move money from my savings into this account, you can. Once the account's open, you can contact American Fidelity. They'll help you move that money over. It is post-tax. But when you fill out your taxes at the end of the next year, remember, this is tax-free money, therefore the IRS is involved. When you file your taxes, there is a form, 8889, don't worry about writing it down, that you will need to file with your taxes come January of 2017. And it will say, this went into my account and this came out of my account. And American Fidelity will send 1099s with those amounts as well. When you fill out that form, if everything went in through payroll, it's all pre-tax, it says this is pre-tax, nothing else you need to do. If you put your own post-tax money in, you know, Aunt Jane left you a couple $1,000 and you want to put some in there, that goes on a separate line that says this was post-tax money and it becomes an above-the-line deduction on the front page of your 1040. And that's where you get the tax savings on that money. So, like I said, I don't read these. I go all over the place. So you can put money in tax-free. And it remains tax-free as long as it's in the account. And you can spend it tax-free on qualified medical expenses. And there's a separate slide on that. We'll get to what counts and what doesn't. So basically, you can almost double dip on the government. This is one of the few times that you can put it in and take it out tax-free. It earns basically a passbook interest amount, not very much, but it does earn. It is a fee-free account, so there are no fees associated with this, either for Kings as the district or it's you, for you as employees. So it doesn't cost you anything. The account comes with a debit card. You can order additional debit cards for a spouse or for, say, college kids away from home. I don't really recommend that because it is a debit card. Nobody is going to stop them from using it for pizza on a Friday night. So if you trust your kid, okay. This can also be used as an investment account, similar to an IRA. So when you would get over $2,500 in the account, American Fidelity will offer investment vehicles within that account. You don't have to use it as that, but if you want to, it's things like bond funds, mutual funds. But please remember, they are investments. They can gain, they can lose. There's no guarantees. So I'm going to go off the ranch here. One of the biggest advantages of the HSA, it's originally based upon the 125 flexible spending plans or FSAs. One of the biggest advantages of this account is it is no longer owned by your employer. It is your account in your name. The money never leaves the account unless you decide to spend it. So funds in the account at the end of the year roll over to the next year and the next and the next. There is no limit on how much can be in these accounts over time. So if you put the funds in and you have a very healthy year or you're planning for retirement, we'll kind of touch on that. You can put the maximum in per year the IRS allows, but over time there can be all kinds of money left in there. Also, you don't have to use it. This is where it gets into how do you run your finances. You know, if your drugs cost $20 a month, which so I am on two prescriptions per month, maintenance, and it costs me $12.77 a month. That's what my drugs cost. I don't need to tap into my HSA to pay for it. I do, but I don't have to. You can leave your money sit there for the future if you'd like. You can also pay yourself back over time. So as long as the claim occurred when the account was opened or after, you can't go back in prior years. If you decide you're not going to use your account, you're going to let it build up, and then in the future you say, you know what, I had this claim back here, I'm going to pay myself back for that now. You can do that as long as you have the receipt proving it was a medical expense. Very, very flexible. The other thing the FSAs did was they said, here's your election period, make your annual election, and you were stuck. That was it for the year. This is very fluid. You can say, you know what, January 1st, I'm going to start, I'm going to put $30 per pay into my HSA through my payroll. Sorry. That's fine. Let's say something happens to you in May. All of a sudden, you've got some big claims that need to be paid in May that you did not anticipate. You can go back to payroll and say, I need you to increase that to $100 per month for the next 3 months and then stop it altogether. You can do that. You can flex it around. This gets very important when you look at what you're expecting for the year as to how you're going to finance it. If you are on very expensive drugs and they're going to hit in January, February, and you know you're going to have big expenses up front, Remicade runs over $3,000 a month. So if you're on a Remicade, an Enbrel, something like that, you know you need to have it. You're going to hit your deductible very quickly. The rest of the year you're covered at 100% under the plan, but you need to have that money. You may say, all right, payroll, I'm going to put $1,000 of my own money in post-tax, and then I need you to take $200 per pay for the first 4 months and then stop it altogether. So you have that money early. We flip it around. The young 25-year-old Superman who nothing's ever going to happen to him, he's never going to get old, never going to get sick, you know. He's the one out getting the sports injury on summer, and now he's got to have, you know, his broken leg fixed with pins. He's going to come in and say, wow, I was doing nothing. Now I need to take a chunk out of pay to pay for this. It's fluid. You can make it do what you need to do. It is not a payday loan. If you're into payroll every pay, moving things around, they can shut you down. Okay. You know, things happen, but it's not, you know, if you're flexing at every pay, there's a problem. Over time, there's no limit how much can be. There are limits. Okay, good segue. So how does money, you know, we've kind of said how does money get in, but what's getting in and what's the limits? King's is going to contribute, if you have a single $2,000 deductible, King's is going to give you $1,000 towards that. If you have a $4,000 deductible, King's is going to contribute $2,000. So they're giving you the money to pay half your deductible. Half of that will be deposited with your first pay in January. The other half will be deposited with the first pay in July. So there's a start. So if you're on a family, they're going to put $1,000 in for you with the first January pay. Then you can make your own contributions as well. IRS does set limits on how much can be in the account within the year, within the calendar year. It's indexed with inflation. This year, if you have a single deductible, you can put $3,350 in your HSA. That includes the board share. It includes money from any, strangely enough, the IRS doesn't care where the money comes from. That includes the board's money, your money, Aunt Jane's money. That's the most that can go in that account. If you have a family deductible of $4,000, you can put $6,750 in. And if you're lucky enough to be age 55 or older at any point during the next year, you can put an additional $1,000 catch-up in. And that goes every year after you turn 55. So why would you want to put more than the deductible into this? Because people are like, why would I want to do that? You know, two reasons. One, if you're on that Remicade or Enbrel, if you're MS, your cancer, your whatever, and you know you are going to hit that deductible every year, you know, we understand this is not an easy transition. We understand the first year or two is very tough at times, depending on your situation. If I have a $2,000 deductible and I know I'm going to hit it by February, great, I'm free and clear the rest of the year, but come next January, I'm going to have another $2,000 deductible. So the board's giving me $1,000 this year, so I need to fund $1,000 of it this year. But the more I can get in for the following year, so come January, it's already sitting there waiting for me. Wonderful. It's very comforting. I've been on one of these plans for over 10 years now with a family of four. It's really comforting. The bills come in. I make sure they're right. Pay it. You know, there we go. So if I'm paying a $2,000 deductible every year, I'm going to try and put as much of that extra $1,350 in that account as I can. So the next year, that money's already sitting there. The board money comes in January. I'm doing okay. And after a couple of years like that, I can get enough in there that the full amount's in there come January. Okay. Second reason you may want to fund these accounts. I'm going to skip slides for a second. Okay. So we said you're going to file an IRS form with your taxes that says, yes, I have an HSA. Here's what went in. Here's what came out. Unlike an FSA 125, there is no gatekeeper. This is a bank account with a debit card. Nobody's watching. So, you can use that card for whatever you want. Okay. However, if you were audited by the IRS, and remember, once they audit you for one thing, that opens the door to everything that you have done, period, ever. They're going to see that you had an HSA, and they're going to say, okay, you know, you spent $539 out of your HSA last year. What'd you spend it on? Prove it. If all you have is a Best Buy receipt for a flat screen TV, they're going to giggle too. And then they're going to charge you your income tax on that amount because it went in tax-free. And they're going to charge you a 20% penalty for misuse of funds. That's really what it comes down to. So be careful. Pay attention. Beauty of this account is at age 65, that 20% penalty disappears. You can continue to spend this tax-free on out-of-pocket medical type expenses, qualified expenses, as long as you live, long as you have that account. And at age 65, it literally turns into another retirement account. You can access the funds out of this account at your tax bracket at that age for whatever you want.
I'm assuming if you leave the district and you get a new job, you can take that with you. Is that correct?
Okay. We'll just skip another slide. That's okay. Question was, if you leave, can you take it with you? Absolutely. That's one of the beauties of this. It wouldn't work real well if you could build up a nest egg and then if you left the district, it disappeared. All that happens is that little link to King's for the deposit disappears. The account goes with you. You can continue to use it tax-free for qualified expenses. What you can and cannot do is if you are not covered by a qualified high deductible plan, you cannot put more money in. So if you retire, go on to STRS Retirement Medicare, or you go to another district that has a plan with co-pays, a PPO plan, you cannot put more money in, but you can continue to spend it, or you can let it sit there for retirement. It's up to you. This is why I said we're into finances now, and everybody will be different. The question was, if you leave Kings, does the account stay with American Fidelity and will they still work with that? The answer is yes. Now, if you go to another district who has an HSA and they're using, up in Dayton, a lot of them use RightPath credit, you can open another account with the new bank and you can either leave this as is or you can roll it over into a new HSA. It's up to you how many accounts you want to have and manage. I think you were next.
Say you retire, this is with you, it's portable. Can you continue to contribute your own money into it?
So if you retire and this goes with you, can you continue to put your own money in? Not unless you're covered by another qualified high deductible plan. This is IRS. Ah, but you're still going to be a King's employee. You're just going to waive coverage.
Okay.
So what happens if you enroll in the coverage, you open the account, the board puts money in, and then you leave, you terminate employment in February. The account still goes with you, but I believe there is a contract. The contract, union contract says that they will take the prorated portion out of your last pay. So that amount is still in the account because they can't touch the account. Now, the other reason you don't want to do that is there is a tax penalty. The IRS requires that you stay under this coverage for 1 year to be able to keep the tax-free status. Because if you did take that money and then you left, the IRS is going to come in and tax you on that money because you didn't maintain coverage for a full year. They don't care. IRS says it's a 12-month commitment. Okay. So if you are planning on retiring this year, you may want to see me afterwards because they may prorate it and say the IRS may prorate for each month. I have to look that up. Greg, do you know the answer to that offhand?
They prorate it.
So the IRS will take that maximum you can put in, divided by 12, and if you're in the plan for 1 month, you can only keep 1/12 of that maximum. The rest is taxed. Okay.
But that money doesn't go away.
The money does not go away. The IRS may charge you taxes on it, though, whether or not you spend it or not.
Insurance, but they're only on 1 year contracts. They might not come back next September. They will only be getting half the portion in January.
Okay.
Would they be penalized?
Okay. Question is if a rehire comes back this year, they go on to the plan January 1st, and then they don't come back next fall. So they're only covered by the plan for, let's say, 6 months. Make it easy on me. Yes, if they would still be subject to the IRS rules for prorating. They were covered by the plan for 6 months. They could only have 6 months' worth of contributions in that plan. So, yeah, the IRS gets pretty convoluted after a while. So, are we okay on this part? All right. Okay, let's go back to this one. So what is a qualified medical expense? Because you hear us use that term a lot. If you've had an FSA, it's the same things you can pay from an FSA, you can pay from an HSA. It's all IRS rules. It's IRS publication 502. Good luck. It's not just a clean list of expenses, let me tell you. American Fidelity can help with that, though. If you have questions on is this or is this not, American Fidelity can definitely help. Anything that Anthem or CVS covers is a qualified medical expense. Your dental expense is covered. Your vision expenses are covered. And then there's some other things as well. Things like vitamins are not unless you have a prescription, so it gets kind of wonky. If you have a seeing eye dog and your dog has a vet visit, you can pay for that with your HSA. Bizarre. So the danger with this is misconception number two that we run into with HSA plans. I will have somebody call me all irritated saying, I spent $4,000 out of my HSA account. Why isn't Anthem covering my claims at 100%? Two different things. What did you pay for out of your HSA account? Did you cover your children's orthodontia? Anthem doesn't cover orthodontia. So you can spend that out of your HSA. If you're going to spend ortho anyway, that's big money. And you can get the tax break on that running it through your HSA. It does not apply to your Anthem deductible. Never has, never will. So you can make that conscious decision. I'm going to spend it on things that Anthem doesn't cover. But realize if something medical happens to you, you still have that Anthem deductible. Anthem doesn't care that you spent your money. They said, here's our plan. This applies to deductible. You owe it. So this is where we're back to the world of finances. What are your expenses? What do you anticipate? How do you want to manage your money? Okay. American Fidelity has a separate vehicle for vision and dental expenses. It is an FSA just for that. It will not, you cannot have a medical FSA with an HSA, but you can still do one. So if you know, I have $3,000 of ortho coming at me, I may want to open up a limited FSA for that, so I'm not getting into my HSA. But that's misconception number two. People think that because I've spent it, my deductible's met. This goes back to misconception number one. They don't talk to each other at all. You have to manage it. So any questions on this? Let me see where we are. More IRS rules. They're so fun. Whenever the IRS has tax-free money, they have all kinds of rules and regulations. The first one is you have to file it with your taxes. Now, there's that separate form. But they also say certain people cannot have an HSA. And what it all pretty much boils down to is if you ask the employee, they don't look at what your dependents have, your spouse. Doesn't make sense to me, but that's IRS. If you ask the employee, are covered by any other type of coverage that pays what they call a first dollar benefit, it has a lower deductible, it pays out before your high deductible plan would, you cannot have an HSA. You cannot open it. You can take the insurance, it's just insurance, but you cannot open the HSA account. So if you're covered under a spouse's plan and the spouse has a PPO with copays, you cannot. You can come off the spouse's plan and open up the HSA. If you are covered by any part of Medicare, A, B, D, or C is the Advantage plan, you cannot open up the account. Military TRICARE is the same thing, and they are very strict on it. They drill it into their people that they cannot have an HSA. Tax.
So he cannot do that now if we do the HSA, is that correct?
Okay. The question is FSAs, because that is the other thing that will make you ineligible. The King's FSA plan ends December 31st. So make sure all your money is spent by December 31st from your FSA. If you plan on rolling over part into 2016, that will make you ineligible. You need to spend that money out. Okay. If you are covered under a spouse's FSA plan, you have to wait until that FSA plan ends. So, if your spouse is still eligible for an FSA, there's one thing you can ask if they can write the FSA so you are not eligible to submit claims.
He always gets it for himself and my kids.
If the
dental and vision, and then yeah. I have my own
from here. Okay, if the yes. The spouse's plan has to be written specifically to exclude you as the employee. So if you send a claim in, it bounces and they won't pay. Okay. Because the IRS says if you can get resubmitted through tax-free money in an FSA and you can pay it from a tax-free HSA, that's called double dipping. They don't like it. So that's the FSA rules. Any questions on this? Yes.
If I can't open an HSA,
what do you do? Okay. American Fidelity and Sean and I are still working on that, but we believe we're going to be able to open up a full FSA and put the district money in it, and you'll be able to put your money in it as well.
Would that be a qualifier to go on with it, all of Medicare? Like I just have Part A now?
If you have Part A now, you can't open it. Would it be a qualifier? Yes. If you're on Part A Medicare and you want to not do this and you want to go on to full Medicare, yes, you can do that. Contact Social Security now because it takes about 3 months to get all that done with Social Security and Medicare.
What kind of documentation?
I think just a letter from the district saying your coverage is ending. Because there's no, if your coverage is ending and that's why you enroll in Medicare, there's no penalty. And we have a number that we can give you to help. I just don't. RetireMed IQ is a partnership that we have. They can help with any kind of individual coverage, whether it's pre or post 65 for a dependent, for a parent, does not matter. We'll make sure you get that number. Okay. So I think we said if you terminate. Okay. Greg, you want to come up and talk a little bit about American Fidelity, and then we're going to get into the claims, because at that point I'll probably lose you, and so we'll let Greg talk first. Oh, look. Goodies.
All right. Thanks, Ellen. I always bring goodies, so I'm not taking them back with me, so Cervantes. I love Cervantes. So. Well, everybody, I'm Greg from American Fidelity. I'm one of the Ohio State managers. I'm going to be brief, don't worry. So, but we are new to King's, so we're in a lot of school districts. That's all we do are schools. We're probably in almost 50% of the schools in Ohio alone. We do most of the ones in Warren County now, so including Springboro, Little Miami, Lebanon, Carlisle, etc. So we're new to you guys. So what? Obviously, you already know we're taking on the health savings account at no charge for the district. And one of the things we're going to do, and probably in November, we're still working with Sean on this, is we come into our districts and we sit down one-on-one with everybody. So if you're feeling overwhelmed right now, you know, you'll have time to sit down with somebody, decide what you want to put into your health savings account, ask specific questions. The brochures I gave you have a website on the back of them, afhsa.com, has great information on there. If you want to know all the things you can use your health savings account for, there's 17 pages or something crazy. So if you're really bored, it's on there. And then we're also taking over the Section 125 plan for the school district. So we're helping keep them compliant. Like Ellen said, I'm not going to go into a lot of details today, but we are going to offer what they call a limited purpose flexible spending account. We do that at no charge for you and the district as well. For folks that aren't taking the health plan, they'll still be able to do a full flexible spending plan as well. So we're going to be able to answer questions on that specifically. And then we do I'll pass out another flyer too. We do offer supplemental coverage as well. So like disability, accident, cancer, life insurance, critical illness. So, and some of those, when we offer, we're only in schools. So everything we do is designed just for schools. So that's important that you know that with American Fidelity. And also when you sit down with our folks, they get a salary just like you. So that's really important too. So there's never any pressure to do anything at all. So they're just there to answer questions, to educate you. There are some good things with, I personally do a high deductible health plan. I've done one like Ellen probably 4 years now. And there are some good supplementals that you might consider that might be right for your family that that help alleviate some of that deductible cost. So they'll be able to answer those questions too. So, and everything we do set up through payroll. I've worked with Sean before when he was over at the Warren County ESC. That's one of our districts as well. So, and some of you even may be familiar with us if you were at a different school before. So we're excited to be here in Kings. Love the EPC, love working with Alan too. So they've been a great partner with us as well. So, and also one last thing, customer service. So that's what we're all about. The folks you'll meet are local. They're going to answer your questions on HSA. You can always reach out to me too. I'll make sure Sean puts my information out there. And if you have questions, the EPC has a wonderful tool that I don't want to steal Alan's thunder. She'll talk about at the end. But we're there also as another resource to help because it is a big change. And I did it 4 years ago myself, so I understand. So you'll be able to call or email our folks as well anytime you have questions regarding anything that you do with us, but especially your health savings accounts. So that usually kind of gets people to be a little bit relieved. So it's a great thing. Like I said, I enjoy being able to control my money, and once you start understanding it a little bit better, I do view it as a positive. Because you can keep that money in your bank, right? If you're having a good year and you spend the higher premiums on a PPO plan, you don't get that back. So with an HSA, the idea is that you're going to be able to save that money and keep it for yourself. So anyway, thank you all. Enjoy. I'm not taking the cookies with me. So
thanks, Greg. Okay. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty, how do claims work? And we're going to do medical claims, and then we're going to do pharmacy claims because they do work a bit differently. Okay. So with medical claims, you are going to get a new Anthem ID card. It will come in the middle of December, we hope. It should. And it's pretty much in a plain envelope. Looks a lot like junk mail. The same with your debit card from American Fidelity. It's a debit card. It comes in a plain envelope. It should be in December. It's going to look like junk mail. Please monitor your junk mail. Open it and check before you pitch. We're all inundated with that stuff. So you're going to have a debit card, and then you're going to have an Anthem ID card. Your ID number doesn't change. The prefix might. That YRP turns into a YCP or something, I forget. So that part of it will change. The group number doesn't change, but your card will have no copays shown because you have no copays, right? Your CVS card does not change. It does not show copays. It just shows that the coding shows that your Southwest EPC with Kings, that changes on the backside. You will not get a new CVS card, okay? When you go to a medical provider, so this is inpatient, outpatient, therapies, doctors, ERs, urgent cares, anything that's non-pharmacy, make sure you use your Anthem ID card. Do not give them the debit card. If you go to your doctors and you give them the debit card, they will run it and say thank you very much. They're going to charge you retail. You do not owe retail. At the point of service, you owe nothing. You do not pay up front anymore. They're going to send you back, do whatever you do, and then you go home. Your provider, let's just call it a doctor. Your doctor's going to send that claim into Anthem because of your Anthem ID card. If you don't give them your Anthem card, they don't know where to file it. Anthem will never know you had services. Anthem's going to take that claim and they're going to process it and they're going to send you out the explanation of benefits. It's called the EOB because that is just too long to say explanation of benefits every single time. Anthem sends you these now. Most people pay no attention. There's a head nod. Yeah, you pay a copay. What do you care? You're done. Okay, so unless you're into other services, you probably pay absolutely no attention to these. These are going to be your best friend from here on out. Okay, so on that EOB, Anthem says, here's what was billed. Here's what is allowed. That's the contractual amount. That's the amount that they are either going to apply to deductible or they're going to pay. Okay. They send that same information back to the doctors, at which point the doctor should update their invoice, send you a new invoice, and when the invoice and the EOB match, that's when you want to know it's okay, go ahead and pay. At that point, you can, you know, write your debit card on the bill or call them up, or you can send it directly through EFT through American Fidelity. There are no checks with American Fidelity. Okay? If you do not and you pay that bill and you overpay because you're paying retail, it's going to be up to you to realize that, go back to that physician and say, I've overpaid you, give me my refund. Okay? It's a pain in the rear. So, you know, it's a really good habit to pay your bills and pay them on time. However, don't pay it until you get the Anthem EOB. Now, Anthem takes forever to mail the EOBs. All insurance companies do. It's not just Anthem. However, as soon as that EOB is processed, it's available online at anthem.com. For multiple reasons, you're going to want to log on, set your logon up if you haven't done it yet, with anthem.com, and you need to do it now for a couple other reasons we'll get into. Okay, so as soon as that pops, is anybody on that now? Do they send you an email saying your EOB is available? Okay, United does. I'm with United this time. Anthem, United, it goes back and forth. Okay, so you very well may get a bill from the doctor for the full retail. Because if you go in on the 12th, the billing cycle's on the 15th, they're going to shoot a bill out to you. They may not even have filed the claim with Anthem yet. Don't pay it until you get that EOB, and at that point you should get another updated invoice showing the adjustments of what you really owe. If you wait for snail mail, it may be a couple of months, and by that point, if you have not picked up the phone and talked to the doctor, you may be in collections. Okay, this is just reality right now. So go online and keep an eye out for those EOBs and use that. Don't wait for snail mail. Okay, once you get sent to collections, it's kind of hard to pull it out, and they're not always very friendly to help you if there's questions. Yes. Okay, some doctors are still insisting on payment up front. It's a cash flow issue because there's no guarantee that anybody's actually going to pay their bills. You have two options. You can fight with them and really insist, and a lot of times they will back down because you have a high deductible plan, or if you really want to see this doctor and they're really going to play hardball, give them the $20. Okay? Get a receipt. I've seen that happen. So when that bill comes, let's say you end up owing $90 after Anthem processes. The bill from the doctor should say $70 because you already paid him $20. Anthem won't know that. Anthem's just going to say you owe $90. And then the bill's going to say you owe $70, but here's $20 already collected. Okay? Yes.
Is there a reliable page on the Anthem website that gives you an idea of what the actual amount they pay per visit or for services rendered?
Okay. This is the $22 million question. What do services actually cost? Okay. We have a tool we're going to go through at the end that's really going to be your best friend. But for right now, this is the other reason you want to go to anthem.com now. go look at your prior EOBs and see what that service actually costs. What is the amount in that allowed column? Typically, we have the same basic health care year to year. Okay, as you get older, it gets a little worse every year, but you know. Unless you have a surgery scheduled, or maybe you had some kind of something happen last year that you don't anticipate, you had a car wreck, you know, and you're not going to have that again, hopefully. You can look at your last year's EOBs and say, well, you know, that doctor runs around 90, this one's around 110, my therapy visits were about 55, here's what it cost. Now, others have told me your prescriptions are also online. I don't know if it's Anthem or if it's through CVS, through Caremark, because I don't have the Anthem coverage, but it should tell you what those drugs actually cost. We're going to
actually call the pharmacy too, I believe, right?
Some pharmacies will actually tell you if you ask what CVS paid for that. Some of them won't. Depends on how intelligent that person answering the phone is. I'm sorry that happens. So with medical, that's your typical claim cycle. If you're getting bills but you're not seeing anything on Anthem, pick up the phone and call the doctor and say, Anthem is not showing anything. They could have filed it incorrectly. They could have flipped a digit in your ID number and it goes into electronic Never Never Land. Anthem has no idea who this is. They can't match it up with anything. Okay. The worst thing you can do is ignore the bills. That's the fastest way to go to collections. The beauty of the medical is you can pay it over time. So let's say you have one heck of a New Year's Eve and you're in the hospital January 2nd. And once you hit the hospital, you've hit your $4,000 deductible. That's kind of a given. It's a hospital. Hospital's going to send out, well, maybe you've got $1,500 in your account. You don't have enough in your HSA to pay that bill. What do you do? You can do a couple of things. Some people are going to pull out their wallet, whether it's a credit card or a check, they're going to pay that bill. That's the way they work. Fine. Most people are going to call the hospital and say, hey, I owe you $4,000. I need to pay this in like 10 $400 monthly payments. No problem. The hospital is thrilled that you called to arrange payment. I have never seen interest put on these. They just take what you owe and divide it up. Okay? You can do that. Let's say you've got $400 a month going into your HSA. You just turn it around, pay it to the hospital. That's one way to do it. The other thing you can do is you can pick up the phone and call the hospital and say, hey, I owe you $4,000. Let's make a deal. And in exchange, you say, I will pay you over the next 2 years. Or what kind of discount will you give me to pay it all right now? Typically for asking, they will give you 10 to 25%. 35 for you, all right. But you have to pay that amount right then. So it may be on a credit card to save that 35%. Anthem doesn't know that you've done that. Anthem still shows that you have met your $4,000 deductible. So if all you need to pay out is actually $3,500, that other $500 stays in your pocket. It does not go back to Anthem and readjust, and Anthem does not say you owe another $500 to get to $4,000. Absolutely. It's like buying chickens in Mexico. You can negotiate costs. Yes.
Okay, so when you reach your $4,000 or $2,000,
mm-hmm.
does it have to be paid as well before you get your free everything else is free?
Once you reach it? Good question. If you hit that $4,000, $2,000 deductible, Anthem will immediately, once you hit that limit, Anthem immediately pays everything else at 100%. Okay? It's up to you to arrange the payment of that money out to the providers. Anthem doesn't care. Okay? So, are we okay on medical? Okay, medical's pretty easy. Pharmacy is not so easy. We are not living in Never Never Land. We understand HSAs are complex
And the first couple years are complicated. They can be tough. And pharmacy is one of the main reasons why. You can pay your medical over time, but there is no pharmacy I've met yet that says, here's your drug, pay me later. You have to pay for that prescription to walk out the door with it. And the other problem with pharmacy is, what does anything cost anymore? Pharmacy is actually trickier than medical to figure that out, but we're gonna get into that. So with the pharmacy, you have your CVS card. Make sure that card gets used first, because otherwise Anthem's not going to know that you even had a prescription. The CVS program is lifetime with Anthem. So as soon as that card is swiped at the pharmacy and it says you owe $56.93, that $56 gets transferred immediately over to Anthem and applied to your deductible. It's real time. And before they say what you owe, they've already checked with Anthem, so they know where you are on your deductible. And a lot of times what you'll see is you're paying, you know, maybe you're paying $89.52 every month for your prescription. And then, you know, maybe in August, all of a sudden they say you owe $2.35. That's where you hit your deductible. That's what was left on deductible. They charge you that portion, and then you're done. It is real time. But if you don't use it, or if they try and run it through Anthem, I love when they run it through Anthem and tell you you have no coverage. Anthem's not going to know. So you have to use that CVS card so Anthem knows. Plus, you're getting the CVS bulk discount on that drug with that pharmacy. So it gets even more confusing. Right now, regardless of what pharmacy you go to, your copay stays the same. Different pharmacies have different rates on their drugs. So your favorite pharmacy may be the most expensive one out there.
Even with the CVS discount?
Yes. Yeah, it is not one flat amount, unfortunately. And right now, drug prices are moving all over creation. So if they quote you a price, that's the price as of that point in time. And it drove me insane last year. They said, well, your drug costs $5 here. I went over there, it's like $7.50. It's small change, but it's the principle. They were moving prices every day. Yes.
So we will not get a new CVS drug card.
Correct. You will not get a new CVS drug card. If you look at the one you have currently, there's no copays on it. It's just coding. That doesn't change. You do not need to show your CVS card every time, but because they keep it on file. But watch and make sure that they know that it's changed. So if they charge you a flat 10 or 20, it should kick out and say, no. But no, you don't really need to show it. Absolutely show the insurance. And, you know, every now and then the providers will still try and file it with something you had 5 years ago. Absolutely. Yes, the CVS card is tied to Anthem. It's a constant data feed back and forth between the carriers. Okay, so that's how pharmacy works. So when you go, you have to pay for it. You could end up finding out that your drugs really aren't that expensive. It's not that big a deal. Or they could be really expensive, and then you need to figure out how you're going to pay for it day one. Now, this is something we came up with to help. We're like, how? We understand this is exactly the worst part of the whole thing. Okay, how do I do this? So one thing we've just some advice, and you don't have to do this. If you're on routine maintenance drugs and you're going to the pharmacy every week because you only drive past the pharmacy like five times a day, you know, you may want to consider getting them on mail order. But watch the timing. Your current mail order benefit sends you 3 months worth of drugs for two copays. Little cost savings put in there, little incentive. If you set this up so it sets up to ship your first 90-day supply in, say, mid-December, that'll get you through to mid-March. You won't have to refill your drugs until March. That gives you some time to get some money in the account. Okay. Now, setting up mail order takes a couple of weeks. You have to go to the doctor, get a new prescription for the full 90-day. You can't use your existing 30-day. It has to be written for 90-day. You got to send it in and deal with them. Okay. Also, if you fill your retail 30-day on November 30th, mail order won't ship it until December 30th. They know, because it's all in the CVS system, that you're not due for a refill yet. So be very aware of dates and timing if you want to do this, but it's a great way to get that extra drugs in at the copay level while you're transitioning to the HSA. And if you do this, as soon as you get that shipment, go back into mail order and cancel it. Because if they ship it again under the HSA, they have to charge you that CVS cost for the full 3 months. So if your drugs are $300 a month at retail, they're going to send you a bill. They're going to demand payment for $900 at one shot. So you can cancel the mail order, go back to retail just for cash flow purposes. So it's not hitting all at once. Okay. Some people won't do it. It's fine. It's your choice. It does take some legwork. It does take some babysitting. But for some people, it's worth it. We put it up there as an option. Okay. What do drugs cost? It's the biggest question we have. What do things cost? If you can go to Caremark.com, Anthem.com, look at your drug claims and see if it's there. I've been told it is, but I can't verify that. What it should say is, here's your copay and here's what we paid. You add them together. That's the cost of that drug that day at that pharmacy. Okay. When January 1st hits, your Anthem.com account's going to flip over to show you your HSA benefits. And at that point, you can go to Caremark, since they're your pharmacy provider, and it will show you what drugs cost at different, use their pricer, and it'll show you what drugs cost at different locations. Okay. You can call your pharmacy and ask them. If it's a good pharmacy, why shouldn't they tell you what CVS has been paying for your drug? It should always be less than retail. There may be a few drugs where it's right there. We've already covered the EOB. Okay. This is what Greg was talking about. Compass is an independent company. They're not attached to any kind of pharmacy, insurance company, or anything else. They're a total independent company. We contracted with them a year ago tomorrow, October 1st, for our HSA groups. They are fabulous. Think of them as a concierge company for your HSA plan. Okay. They are completely independent. They will do all the legwork that you need, give you the data and the information, and then you can do with it what you will. They don't dictate anything. They can help with everything from finding a qualified doctor. You know, if you hit 50 and you need your colonoscopy, where do you find that? Well, I don't know. It wasn't me, it was my husband. I called up Olivia. We have a dedicated rep named Olivia Christian. She's a real person. Called her up, said, Olivia, this is what I need. The next day, I had an email in my box with here's some options and what they cost and where they are. Fabulous. I do this for a living, and I was searching through United's provider site trying to find it and couldn't find it. They can also help with what do things cost. Okay. Now, if you're having an emergency, go take care of it. You know, the heck with it. Go take care of it. Take care of yourself. In non-emergency situations, so you blow out your knee on the stairs and your doctor says you need an MRI. Go over to Christ and have an MRI. What does it cost and what are my options? Typically, we usually do whatever the doctor says, you know, whatever. He's the doctor, he knows best. They don't know what anything costs, I'll guarantee that. They don't have time. So you call up Compass and you say, this is what my doctor wants, what are my options? They're going to send you back the information, usually in 24 hours, and they may say, Christ costs $2,200, Mercy costs $1,800, and ProScan costs $600. They're all quality metrics. They're all using the same MRI equipment, but because ProScan is not a hospital with hospital overhead, it's much cheaper. Okay. And you may have already, if you've been there, Anthem has a program with ProScan that they will actually call you and say, we see that you're registered for an MRI at a hospital. Would you rather save money and go here? We'll make the appointment for you. They started that a few years ago. It's very good. So they can do that. You can call them on anything from a $30 claim, a $10 claim, to a $30,000 claim. They don't care. Size doesn't matter to them. They will give you the options, what everything costs. And most of their costs are all-inclusive. So if you need an ACL repair, it's going to cover the anesthesiologist, the radiologist, the facility, and the surgeon. It's going to be an all-inclusive cost. Prescriptions is probably the thing most people use them for. And they will even suggest that come January 1st, you send them a list of your prescriptions and dosages, and they will give you not only what that drug costs, but what the generic alternatives are and the clinical alternatives. Some of it's very eye-popping. What you do with that information is up to you. Most people will take it back to their doctor and say, man, you diagnosed me with high cholesterol last year and you put me right on Crestor, which is $200 a month. It says right here, Avastor is $10 a month, which that's the generic of Lipitor. Is there a reason why he put you directly on Crestor? Or can you take a $4 generic alternative first and see if that works? Most doctors are very happy to talk to you about that. They should be. So you can take that back to your doctor, and he may say no because of this reason. You need to stay on that. Okay. That's his choice and your choice together, but at least you know what things cost. The other thing they do, which I love them for this, they do problem claims and bill reconciliations. And it doesn't have to be for claims under the HSA. If you're having problem claims from something 2 years ago you're still fighting, send it to them. Let them do the legwork. And if they find out that you've been overcharged, double billed, hospital bills are really tough to pick apart, and you're owed a refund, they'll go after that refund for you. So when you get into this and things get complicated, if you're not sure how your plan works, what's covered, how it's being paid for, they can help you. That's their job. We pay them a flat amount, so use them. Make them earn it. They are completely HIPAA compliant. None of this ever goes anywhere. The only thing that comes out back to us from this plan, and it doesn't necessarily go to the districts unless we share it with them, is we get number reports. So we'll get something that says, King's had 15 employees that called this month. 10 of them were for physician searches. 5 of them were for drug pricing. That's what we get. That's all we know. Because we have to know that they're actually doing something so we keep paying them. I can't say enough about this service. They will be your best friend under the new plan. Now, everything we said, this is all January 1st, and this is the enrollment is driven through the King's enrollment through our system. So as of January 1st, you can call them up. You can send Olivia an email, or you can go on their website. Don't go on their website. I get so happy that I get to say that for once in my life. Don't go to the website. It's way more complex than it needs to be. If you call or send an email, you will get a response. I think they're open from like 8 till 8. They're out of Texas. So there's plenty of time. You don't have to call during school hours. There's plenty of time in the afternoon and evenings to get a hold of them. Now, this is January 1st. If you are in the middle of a complex situation, you're on very high-cost drugs, you're on injectables, home infusion, you're in cancer care, something like that, please use discretion. If you really need to talk to them now to get things set up for January 1st, send Lori Kessner an email. And all you should say in that email is, I need to talk to Compass, and this is where Compass can reach me or how they can reach me. Lori does not want to know about your problems. She's got enough of her own. So all Lori needs to do with that is she is going to forward that to our contact at Compass, and they are going to reach back out to you and help you. We didn't think it was really fair, since you're not already on a high deductible plan. It just felt really unfair to say, we have this great, great thing, but you can't use it till January 1st. Because some of you, this is where you're going to need them most, is helping transition into this plan. Can't say enough about them. This is where I'm going to leave. We're basically done. Oh, open enrollment. Missed this part. This is a January plan, and we know it's a huge change from the current plan. And everything from this point on at King's is all kind of tied to the January 1 deductible. So your FSA elections, your HSA elections. We are moving open enrollment from October 1st to January 1st on a permanent basis. So there's no more October open enrollment. We are going to get communication now, but it looks like open enrollment will start October 19th, run through about November 9th for the new plan year. You can make any adjustments you need to for January 1, whether you're adding coverage, dropping coverage, dependent changes, medical, dental, and vision. Okay, we'll get more information out on that. We're furiously peddling. So we understand it's a change. Some people are going to opt to drop the coverage. Some people might come on, or they may, you know, drop a spouse or whatever. You will be able to make those changes. And here's the premium. See, this is where I lose everybody. These are monthly premium withholding for the insurance plan. They're about 18% less than what you're currently paying. The district had some decent savings moving to this plan. They are passing along those savings into your premiums. So remember, there's an insurance plan and there's a health savings account. The insurance plan still has premiums attached, but they will be 18% less. These are monthly for full-time, for part-time employees. See the treasurer's office.